And so we're going to be talking about some of the stories that Jesus told in the month of July. And they're familiar stories, and I hope that the application will find its way into your life on what these stories really mean. Matthew chapter 13, look with me, verses 1. Matthew 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables. Galilee was a very, very agricultural area. The planting of seed was universal in Galilee, in the Middle East, together. Because if you wanted to eat, you had to plant seed. You had to grow food. You had to produce a crop. It was vital to survive it. It was vital in civilization. Galilee was agricultural. Scripture tells us here in other places that the crowds got so large that Jesus couldn't even stand on the seashore and teach people on the beach or on the seashore or on the land. The Bible says that he got in a ship on the water as the multitudes just lined the seashore. And Jesus got in a boat or a ship on the water, and the crowds that came to hear him lined the seashore, and he spoke to them, according to Scripture, in parables. Jesus spoke in parables. The word parable comes from two Greek words. One is para, the other is ballo. Para, ballo, Greek words, it means this. Here's what parables mean, according to the Greek. It means to throw alongside. So the Greek word for parables is to throw alongside. It's broadening understanding in 2022. It means that a parable is comparing a known truth with an unknown truth and bringing them side by side. There's something you know and I know, and something you don't know and I don't know, and you bring them side by side in a comparison, in a format of storytelling. And he throws the two alongside each other so that you can understand the untruth because you understand the truth. Jesus got tired of going to the synagogues and always being the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. Those are the words that are with you, not crowd will understand. But he got tired of them testing him and confronting him and debating him and trying to catch him in a no-win situation. So he got tired of the confrontation. So he took his ministry outside the synagogue and went to the people. I'm trying to set you up for our series so you'll kind of know that when Jesus spoke, that's how he did it. And he spoke to the people of Galilee, the people of Palestine, the people of Capernaum, the people of his area. And he told them stories. Tell me the stories of Jesus. And so the stories of Jesus came in the format of parables. Now, a parable has been described as this. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So it's going to be something familiar to us on earth, but the inside truth of that story is something spiritual in heaven. So keep that in mind as we go forward in the month of July. Now look at the last part of verse 3. Here we go into the parable. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. This is Jesus' first parable. And it's vital that we start with this and understand this so we go forward next week and next week and next week, that we really get a grip of what the reason for this introductory, this initiational parable simply meant and what it does. And so it says a sower went forth to sow. Remember the agricultural area. Remember people understood planting seeds. People understood you had to plant to grow. You had to plant to receive. You had to plant to eat. And so he's talking to people about something they was familiar with, and he was going to try to compare that with the spiritual story on what they might not be familiar with. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, probably everybody on the seashore that day, but if not everybody, the majority of those on the seashore in this story in Matthew 13, the listeners, the hearers, the audience, the majority of them clearly understood sowing seed. In our day, in 2022, you can have an audience and not everybody would understand sowing seed. We understand buying groceries. We understand having it available wherever we go. But in that day, it was common, everyday knowledge. Jesus is telling a story. He's going to put a story side by side, a truth they understand, to an untruth, and try to compare them and bring them together so they can learn a new truth based on their knowledge of the old truth. Now, you go to my house in Pocola, Oklahoma, in our back porch, or really our back patio, Cheryl has a garden planted. Now, our garden, it might not be like your garden. Our garden, I say our garden, it's really Cheryl's garden. She has 8 5-gallon buckets, 5-gallon pails, and they're planted in those buckets, and she has tomatoes and she has bell peppers planted. That's our garden. They're just in buckets. Cheryl went and got instructions because last year's garden didn't turn out very good, so she went to a gardener, a guy that raises gardens and sells produce. And you go over there and you want every tomato because they look so beautiful and lush and ripe and red and so forth with all his okra, everything. And so Cheryl goes over and gets instructions from a true gardener so that she can try to see if she can do something different this year than she did last year because it wasn't a good crop last year. And the true gardener will tell her, or tell you, or any true gardener will tell you, that it's not necessarily about the seed, that production of a product is not necessarily about the weather, producing a good crop is not necessarily about how much water or rain. All that's important, but it's not the main thing. It's the quality of the soil. It's not the quantity of the seed. It's not the quality of the seed. It's not necessarily the weather conditions, even though you have to have seed and you have to have weather, but it's not the overall be-all that's going to end up in a good crop. He said, and that's a gardener says, it's the condition of the soil. And so he gave Cheryl instructions to do this with her soil, to get this kind of soil, and to get some ProMix to mix, to get leaves and crunch them up. So he gave her instructions on how to get the soil in the proper mix, the proper area before you plant the seed that would produce there. Now, we're still in the harvest area, and it's already done a really good job with the peppers and the tomatoes are really, really fruitful. They're just not having color to the red color yet all the way. And so far, so good. Jesus spoke to a group that understood what we're trying to learn this morning. Jesus tells this parable about farming, and it will end up comparing farming with spiritual growth in one's life. Jesus compares the seed to the gospel. Jesus compares the soil to those that hear the gospel. And Jesus will compare both the seed and the soil to the conditions of one's heart. It goes from an earthly story they know to a spiritual truth they might not know. And that's the side-by-side, alongside comparison of what Jesus is going to teach in this first parable as Jesus gives the story. Parables was to make truth into a picture, to take something familiar and explain something unfamiliar, enabling the person hearing to discover truth for themselves and then make their own decision. Your bulletin, there's a little outline if you want to follow it. First of all, hard-packed soil. Verse 4, look what it says. Jesus, in verse 3, a hole of sore went forth to sow. They understand that part. Look at verse 4. And when he sowed some seeds, they fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, the planting fields that Jesus is describing here to his listeners, his audience, in Galilee, were long, narrow strips of land. And in between the narrow strips of land, don't miss it, were common pathways where pickers, planters, pedestrians, citizens, people could walk. So between the rows of planting, the seed and the soil, it says there that there was an area between those strips where they were planting seed, and it says there that some fell by the wayside. The wayside was the portion in between the rows of the crops where you buried it. You sowed it. And so those paths between the rows of crops that had been sowed was simply known as some fell on the wayside. Now remember, Jesus is teaching a parable, a story, a truth, earthly story for heavenly meaning. A sower sowed some seed. However, he's telling them in this verse that some of that seed didn't land. They sowed the seed, but some of that seed didn't land on the strips of the land only, but on the wayside. Okay, so you can picture that. You see that. I see that. It landed on the walkway between where the crops were being sown. And that pavement, because it was pavement, because people walked on it, because people trodden on it, because people got from point A to point B on it, it became hard as pavement. Therefore, the seed that landed on the wayside, the path, the ground between where the crops were really meant to be planted, it never rooted. The seed just lay on top of it. It was hard as pavement. And so the seed never rooted. It never penetrated the surface. It never had a chance. The pathway was unreceptive to the seed that was thrown on it. And it became nothing but bird seed or bird food. Matter of fact, look what it says in verse 4. And it says, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So we get that picture. Jesus teaches in stories, in parables. There's stories, there's earthly stories, heavenly meanings. It goes side by side comparison so we understand what he's talking about. So Jesus in this parable, so far, compares the soil to that of a person that has a hard heart, like pavement. How many folks do we know? Their minds are completely shut to spiritual things. Their ears are stopped up to spiritual things. Their hearts are calloused to spiritual things. It's like when you talk to them, it's like talking to a brick wall. That's exactly who Jesus is comparing in his story, his parable, to this group of people on the seashore. Jesus says in verse number 13, look what it says in verse 13. He says, therefore, speak I to them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in verse 19 it says this, it says,
And when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which receives seed by the wayside. So he simply, he's not even telling the story, but then he explains the story. It's because of a hard heart. It's a picture of a person being given the gospel, the seed of the word of God, given the gospel news, the good news, and they just shut it out. And it's just like that hard pathway. It just don't penetrate. It's not receptive. It don't hear. It don't see. It don't care. It don't want to know. And he's just explaining people that have hard hearts. And the more one says no to God, the more their hearts become more hard, more callous, more insensitive to God's drawing, to God's conviction, to God's prompting. We've seen it. In Proverbs, in Hebrews 3, it says, today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. So number one, hard packed soil. Number two, shallow soil. Look at verse 5 and 6. And Jesus is starting the story. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. This is shallow soil. Seed sown on shallow soil. Well, not hard as pavement, but shallow soil. Some fell on thin layers of earth. Maybe it fell on topsoil at best. A little topsoil on top of the pavement, a little topsoil on top of a heart underneath. There's a little soil there, and so the seed that was sown fell upon some shallow soil. Now the seed, when it fell on shallow soil, automatically connects to the soil. It begins to germinate quickly. That's what seed does. The soil is warm and it germinates through the warmness of it and the heat from the sun that starts the seed to do what seeds do. But all of a sudden it simply uncovers that due to the shallow thinness of the soil, due to no depth in the ground, the roots are searching for an area to simply begin to root. They're looking for moisture in the soil. They're looking for some nourishment in the soil. Only to be rejected, and they become weak. They become vulnerable. That seed's trying to do what seeds do, and there's nothing there to work with. And maybe a small seedling comes up and sprouts, but because there's nothing to stick to, nothing to get their seed in roots into, that the sun wilts it and the wind comes and there's nothing to hold it and it withers away, it's blown away, it's shallow soil. In this parable, Jesus compares the soil to those who have shallow, superficial hearts. Look at verse 20. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with joy receive it. So all of a sudden they hear the news and they want to accept Christ. They hear the news, they want salvation. All of a sudden they're excited about the gospel news, the seed to be planted. They hear the good news of the gospel, they're eager, they're enthusiastic, they're excited. And they want what salvation will do for them. They want blessings and favor. They want the benefits and they want promises. But because they have no deep roots, they have a shallow heart. Because they have no deep roots, because they have no maturity in spiritual things, because they have no understanding in heavenly things. They're just babes in Christ, actually. And when a tough time comes in their life, and tough times come for Christians, when it costs something to follow Jesus, and it does cost something to follow Jesus, and when the going gets hard and rough, and the going does get hard and rough for Christians, hey, they have no deep roots in their shallow ground, and they never mature, they never grow, they never become what Christ wants them to become because of shallow ground, a shallow heart. You see, we need deep roots. That's why we have Sunday school. We need deep roots. That's why we have Bible study. We need deep roots. That's why we need fellowship with other Christians. We need deep roots in God's Word. We need deep roots in doctrine. We need deep roots in understanding to withstand the storms of life that's not a respecter of persons. Number one, hard-packed soil. Number two, shallow soil. Number three, weed-infested soil. Look at verse 7. Weed infested, of course, when seed failed. Jesus said in verse 3, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow," in verse 7, "and some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them." Now, anybody that's ever tried gardening knows weeds grow faster than the seed, than the crop. And they grow with strength. It seems like they got all the nutrients. Since they got all the water. Since they got all the sun. And they just grow. And they grow with speed. And they grow with strength. And they overtake. And many times the weeds will come into your garden, my garden. Weeds will take over. They will choke the life out of the seed, causing that seed to have little chance, no real chance of having a heart. They cried it out. They choke it out. In this parable portion, Jesus compares the soil to those that have over-involved hearts. Weed invested, over-involved hearts. You see, it was hard-packed soil. That's a hardened heart. It was shallow soil. That's the ones that has a heart that is shallow and not unmature. They're babes in Christ. They've never grown. They're still in the milk of the Word. And the third one is weed infested. That's someone that has a heart, maybe like you or I, that is just has a lot going on, a lot on your plate. I mean, you get up tomorrow on time and you're behind. You got so much to do. Your agenda's full. Your schedule's full. You're a busy person. You like to, hey, it's an over-involved heart. In sprightly understanding, here's what that word means. It means those that have many interests, many hobbies, many plans, that their life, their schedules, their agendas are so busy, so packed, so full, that it crowds out, it chokes out, it throws out what God deems to be the important things in life. It's not that things, that hobbies are bad. It's not that plans with your family are bad. It's not that things that help with neighbors are bad. It's not even that. But does it choke out devotions? Does it choke out prayer time? Does it choke out attending church? Does it choke out the important things? An over-involved heart. In Luke 10, he gives a story about Jesus visiting Mary and Martha and his friend Lazarus, their brother. When Jesus shows up, the Bible says that Martha, she gets into action and goes to the kitchen to make lunch for them. Her sister Mary sits at Jesus' feet and hears him teach. In other words, Martha is a picture of us many times doing a good thing. It's a good thing to feed Jesus. It's a good thing to have lunch. It's a good thing to prepare for that. Nothing really wrong with that. But in this instance, Martha chose a secondary thing, task, rather than a primary task of sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing him teach. Her focus was on temporary things, like what we had for lunch, instead of eternal things and what Jesus could teach. You see, Martha did what some of us do. They do. It's good things. It's not a sin. It's not a bad thing. But Martha did what sometimes that we do. Our hearts are overflowed, overcrowded, overscheduled. And that's what he's talking about there. The weed and mess come up and they crowd out the seed in our hearts that wants to grow and do the priority things and then put the other things in that order. Martha majored on the minor things rather than the major. Hey, can I ask you this question before we get to the last point? Anyone got too many irons in the fire? You know anybody had too many irons in the fire? Just so much going on. It's vital that we give priority. The teaching here is giving priority to the things of God. Colossians says, set our hearts, in chapter 3, verse 1, Colossians, set our hearts on things above, not on earthly things. So there's a hard-packed soil. There's a shallow soil. There's the weed-infested soil gets choked out. Last of all, it's the good fertile soil. Look at verse 8. Some of that seed fell there. Jesus says, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Verse 3, verse 8. It says, "But other fell into good ground." and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. The good ground was fertile, deep, nutritious, soft, allowing seed that was sowed to take root and let same seed to find nourishment and to grow and to root and to grow unchecked and to bring forth a crop, but not just a crop, but a harvest, not just a harvest, but 20, 30, 60, 100 fold back from what the seed was. This portion of Jesus' parable changes everything in the story. It gets to the very point of the matter of telling the story, and it's a true promise of harvest, maybe 30-fold return or 60-fold return or 100-fold return on if it's good soil. In this parable portion, Jesus compares the soil to those that have an open heart to the gospel seed. They're receptive. They're open. They're thirsty. They're hungry. Hey, they're needy. And they simply have an open heart to the greatest seed that could ever be planted, the gospel, the good news. The word of God is spoken. That's the seed. The word of God is heard. It's believed. It's obeyed. That's what we do. And the harvest takes place for producing godliness, faithfulness, maturity, fruitfulness to the tune of 30 times that, 60 times that, 100 times that. Jesus spoke in parables. He told stories. He brought an unfamiliar story with a familiar story side by side so he could compare it, so people could grasp on that and then learn a new spiritual truth. And he starts off, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Just a clarification, this does not represent four different types of people. Rather, it's four different types of responses. Jesus spoke to a compelling all ears audience. And what he was saying, examine your own soil condition. Is your soil condition in your heart hard? Is it shallow? Is it crowded? Is it open? Psalm 139 says, "Search me and know my heart." May I ask you to bow your hands, close your eyes. The story Jesus gave, talking about your hearts, my heart, our hearts. The question is it hard? The verse I opened up with was, he'll reach in and get that stony heart removed and give you a new start, give you a new life, give you a heart of truth. Fresh start, new start, new beginning. He'll give you a new heart and put his spirit within you. And that's exactly the story he's telling there in the New Testament to this group. Parable stories, earthly stories, heavenly. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful example of a story, an illustration. And I'm thankful, Lord, we can share it together, try to get down to the nitty-gritty of what the story was all about. Lord, I'm thankful that as a 10-year-old boy, I had an open heart. And for all these years, I've been hungry and thirsty to grow and learn and mature the things of God. And I've got a long ways to go, but I'm grateful it never ends until I go to heaven. Father, I pray that today for someone here that doesn't know you, someone here that has never met you, someone here that's never entered into a relationship with you, someone's here that's never opened their heart to Jesus. I pray today would be that day. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Sing with Reuben, if we can help you come this morning.
Sweet Lord,
Jesus, sometimes hard ground, soft ground, crowded ground, all yards of open ground.
Jesus,
Thank you so much for listening today. We're going to be talking about the stories of Jesus. We'll be talking about